Hello there, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 14. No, I can't stop
this. Don't know why, can't get enough of your little
brain. We could start the show like, hi, kids, welcome to Geek Actually, episode 14.
Oh, yeah.
Right down there. Baby. All right, have we had enough of that? Hello and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 14 for the 12th of November, 2008. And as usual, we're in a time warp because it's actually only the 11th, but this will hit the airwaves on the 12th. So it's all very confusing. Anyway, so we're here on time. Unfortunately, Mirren Lee... Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to introduce myself. Yep. My name is Dave McVeigh, and I'm your head geek for the show, and... I am joined in studio today by only Jacob Oberman today because, unfortunately, Mirren is not well.
She's not well, and it is a shame. I think we're a triumph. We need to be the three.
We do. I mean, well, no, you know, Mirren brings that certain...
Je ne sais quoi.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. She brings a lot of humor and a lot of good information to the show, and we wish her well in getting well. She's just, unfortunately, having very bad sinuses today. So we're flying on our own. But we're not completely on our own because Little Geek is joining us today.
Is he?
He hasn't been on for a while.
Oh, terrific.
And as I explained in one of the previous shows, normally we actually tape his segment separately and we cut it in, but he's actually joining us live today.
Live in the studio.
He's not here yet. He'll be joining us in about half an hour. He's just letting us get through all the boring crap first. So we do have some interesting stuff. Now, I'm going to head the show off, though. I got to tell you, and Jacob was with me, so we're going to do this together.
Oh, dear.
Last night... we were going to see a screening. Now, I have the invite here somewhere.
Dying Breed.
We were going to see a screening of Dying Breed at, once again, we review cinemas. This is the second bad experience we've had at this cinema. Because this was the first one that started this whole thing.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes. So, George Street Cinemas in the city. It's called the George Street Cinemas. It's actually a conglomerate cinema of Greater Union Village and Hoyts.
I think it's no longer Hoyts.
So. Yeah. No, they still have the Hoyts there, but it's managed by Greater Union now. So if you look at the front of the cinema, it actually has all three company names at the front. So it's like their big conglomerate cinema. Excuse me while I drink my Dr. Pepper.
Birch, Cowler, and Coyle. Well, there's a bit of product placement. Dr. Pepper.
They do not sponsor this show. No? I just like the drink.
Shame.
Now, at the Greater Union Cinema last night, we showed up on time. We looked on the website to get the session times. This was actually not a preview screening. We had complimentary tickets to go see a screening.
Yep.
We selected the time to go see it. We chose 6:50 on Monday night. We, you know, checked the times and schedules and everything was fine. All systems were go. We met in the city to go see this film, which would have been, you know, an interesting film to review, I think, had it been a new Australian horror film, etc., starring Lee Whannell, the man who starred and wrote Saw.
And Nathan Phillips from Wolf Creek.
Well, there you go. And alas, when we arrived at Greater Union in George Street, the entire thing was cordoned off by police. There was a massive mob of people because...
of screaming prepubescent girls.
Absolutely. Because Greater Union had decided that Monday would be a perfect opportunity to do a red carpet event where they were ushering in High School Musical 3.
The senior years.
And Zac Efron and one of the other stars, who I can never remember all their names, they're all white bread and look alike to me, but they were coming by red carpet and limousine to come in, and of course everybody...
Yes, they were coming, yes.
Flash bulbs were flashing and all that sort of stuff, and in fact you got harassed by a police officer because you went, Credit Union is fucked up.
No, there are children standing around.
And what did you say? You said, oh, I'm very sorry, Credit Union stuffed up. But anyway, so we couldn't get in. We went and had a burger, and we tried to figure out what to do, and we decided that this is stuff. Now, we came home, we actually checked the website again, and still no mention of this red carpet event.
In actual fact, I was standing in front of one of the security officers, and there were two other couples there who had bought gold-class tickets online. They had purchased these tickets... for that time, no go.
That would steam me.
Wouldn't you be angry?
So, on behalf of Geek Actually, I'm composing a letter to Greater Union today. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I'm going to compose a letter to Greater Union today and basically express my disgust at this, because
there's no problem having a premier of
absolutely
high
not.
Tell people, put it on the website,
on the
make
website,
an apology that says, I'm sorry, guys, tonight is actually this premier, and you're most welcome to come in here.
Absolutely. You put it on the website, you say, no sessions today. A special event. Just like you put up those parking signs.
And as he said yesterday, this would have been in pre-planning. It would have been booked months ago.
Well, they would have had to book Zac Efron. I mean, Zac Efron's a star anyway.
Yeah.
So that's our gripe over. We didn't get to go see this film. So we came back to Randwick, and I took Jake to see Rock and Roller.
Which was terrific.
Which was brilliant. And it holds up well to a second viewing, because I reviewed it last week, and it's just terrific fun.
Guy Ritchie's back in force.
He is, and where I'm eagerly awaiting his next film, which is also produced by Joel Silver, who produced Rock and Roller.
I think they're a wonderful match, those two.
They are. And his next film is actually Sherlock Holmes, starring Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes and Jude Law as Watson.
Wonderful.
Interestingly enough, this is actually hot on the heels of there's actually an American Sherlock Holmes being made as well at the same time, which is a comedy Sherlock Holmes starring Will Ferrell.
Is this, I remember seeing on an Alitalia flight back in 1976, Sherlock Holmes' smarter brother with Gene Wilder.
Oh, I remember that. Now, the rumor has it, let me just look this up really quickly. For the life of me, I've drawn a blank. I actually read...
You must show me how to warm your pee. That was the, because it was Madeleine Kahn.
Yes. Sherlock Holmes' smarter brother was actually not bad. I also, there was a comedy that came out in the 80s called Without a Clue, which had Michael Caine and Ben Kingsley.
Oh, yes.
Michael Caine played Sherlock Holmes, and Ben Kingsley was Watson.
Yep.
And their take on it was that Sherlock Holmes was actually just an actor, and Ben Kingsley, then Watson, was actually the brains. And he hired the actor to play Sherlock Holmes. It was actually quite fun.
Wow. I think besides the Basil Rathbone classics, the greatest Sherlock Holmes film in my books is the 7% Solution with Alan Arkin.
Brilliant film.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I mean, it's not based on the book. It's a what-if where Holmes actually... Sherlock Holmes. Dr. Watson sends Holmes to see Sigmund Freud to cure his cocaine addiction.
Yes, and actually...
Wonderful film.
That's a wonderful film.
1976 also, I think.
Something like that, yeah. And the other film that I... actually, probably my favorite Sherlock Holmes film was actually a fairly little scene, seemed to have slipped under the radar. Christopher Plummer playing Sherlock Holmes and... James Mason as Watson in Murder by Decree.
Oh, yes.
Which I have a copy on D. I actually ordered and bought a copy from America.
For a moment.
What are you doing?
I'm wearing thongs today, but there's a particular bouquet in the room, and I've worked out it's come from my feet.
Oh, dear.
you're lucky we don't have sense around in here.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay, so it's not actually listed. The rumor I heard, I was just looking at IMDb to actually have a look. I had heard a rumor that the American comedic version of Sherlock Holmes was actually going to be Sacha Baron Cohen playing Sherlock Holmes and Will Ferrell as Watson. Now,
that could have something going for
I've
it.
I've just looked up Will Ferrell on IMDb, and there's no listing for it. So I don't know whether it's actually happening.
Where did
or
you
not.
Hear it?
I read about it. There was a big article.
Oh, so it must be true.
Oh, no, I read about it. There was an article in Empire magazine here where they were talking about the competing Sherlock Holmes films. Mm-hmm. And this was before Robert Downey had been cast. Mm. And there was a lot of talk about who was going to play the roles and blah, blah, blah. And the American one was actually first off the gate. And they'd already started talking about the casting. And Guy Ritchie hadn't cast yet. And there was all this talk that Jason Statham might play Watson because Jason Statham's a favorite of Guy Ritchie. Mm. And we all thought, and there was the caricature picture that came with the article was actually Sherlock Holmes standing next to Watson, who was holding two machine guns. Because it was Guy Ritchie and Jason Statham.
How ridiculous. What was I going to say? Oh, yes, it's always... art imitating life with Mr. Robert Downey Jr., who I must say is my favourite contemporary actor.
I agree.
Without a doubt, hands down. I mean, here he is playing a coke-fueled investigator.
Question is, are they going to play up the coke side of it? Because there has been talk that they may actually play that side of it down and go more for the mystery side of it and not delving into the personal, to speak. You know?
Well,
Guy Ritchie would like to go for plot rather than... Mm. Character.
Yeah, well, history would tell us that is the case. Look, we haven't mentioned... Well, we mentioned Rock and Roller last week. Yes, I saw it for the first time last night, and it's a really well-balanced film. It's... Look, it's kind of predictable, but everyone is so well cast.
It's predictable, but it's predictable in a fun way, because yeah. you're kind of watching the threads interweaving.
I don't mean that in a denigrating sense. Mm. I actually mean it in a fun sense. And
the one thing about a Guy Ritchie film, you know, is that as they introduce characters, none of the characters are unnecessary. They're all going to interweave in some way. If you watch his past films with Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch and so forth.
Which are films, I'll tell you personally, I didn't really enjoy that much. They're watchable. This really, I think, is his greatest film. There's gravitas to it. I mean, he has obviously had experience with the London underworld.
I would say so. Judging the fact that his three top films are all London underground films. This is where he obviously has his experience. So, because when he strayed from that, Swept Away is a good example. Sorry to laugh, but it's really awful.
Who's the actor who plays the stepson in Rock and Roller?
The Rock and Roller himself.
Yeah, the Rock and Roller himself. Go and have a look. He was terrific. There's such a sense of humour with the worst of characters. He's the junky stepson of the protagonist.
All right, so Rock and Roller, of course, stars Gerard Butler as One-Two, who's like the head of the Scottish actor, who I just love, and listeners will know that he was from 300. He was in 300 not long ago. Okay, so the Rock and Roller was Jimmy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Johnny Quid, I beg your pardon. Johnny Quid.
Oh, no, here it is. Rocker.
Yep.
Oh, no, Johnny Quid. Here we are. Johnny Quid. Yep. Toby Kebbell.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent actor.
And Toby Kebbell's past history... Would we have heard of him?
Well, we're going to be hearing from him with the sequel of The Real Rock and Roller.
There will be a sequel, The Real Rock and Roller. And according to this, The Real Rock and Roller is not actually listed yet, though, so I don't think they've actually greenlit it yet, but I'm sure it will happen. Mm. He was in Oliver Stone's Alexander.
Oh, yes.
And he was in Match Point, the Woody Allen film.
Uh-huh.
Have I seen
Match Point? Yes, I've seen Match Point. That's set in London, isn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh. And he was TV series called Shakespeare Retold.
Right.
Interesting. Yep. Okay. So he hasn't been in a lot, but he's been around. I mean,
all of them were very competent actors.
Yeah. The Rock and Roller is terrific. I mean, we won't harp on Rock and Roller because we did review it last week.
I don't normally give a film a second sit. But I'd be very happy to sit down and watch that film again.
Well, you know, as I say, I sat through it a second time, and it's only been a week since I saw it, and it holds up very well to a second. Because you're actually anticipating the humor. Mm. Right? The one thing about Rock and Roll is it's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
And you anticipate the humor now because you know it's coming. Mm. And so you're actually watching...
Well, the humor's in the fear.
Absolutely.
Shitting yourself.
Okay, now...
What are we moving on to?
I've got a little bit of tech. We're gonna kick into a little bit of tech, then we got a little bit of... Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of gossip, because unfortunately, Marin's not with us.
No.
But we'll keep this moving along here. We've got a bunch of articles we're going to move through fairly quickly, because, of course, Little Geek's coming in
soon. We're going to talk about the keys?
We will talk about the keys. First, though, before we go up, I just want to play you this, just to refresh your memory, okay?
I'm a PC, and I love cooking.
I like cheese.
And I grow my own tomatoes.
I love the barbecue.
And I cook dinner every night.
I'm a PC and I eat pancakes.
I'm a PC, and I wipe my bottom until the paper is white.
Okay, so we remember that this is Microsoft's quote-unquote, I'm going to use air quotes, quote-unquote,
bing, bing, bing,
answer to the Mac ads, okay? Basically saying that I'm a PC and I've been stereotyped and all crap, and we're not going to harp on this. The only reason I bring this up is because apparently Microsoft has started a new strategy. The new strategy is they've actually put booths up.
I beg your pardon?
Booths.
Booths.
Yeah, and they're recording devices, and you can hop into them, and you basically hit the button and tell them why you're a PC, and if it's good enough, they go into the next ad.
Oh, I've seen this. Yep.
So these Microsoft I'm a PC booths. Well, why this has made the news is the fact that apparently Microsoft has decided to set these booths up outside every Apple store.
Okay.
Right outside the Apple stores. And it's not so much that they want people to jump in and say, I'm a PC. They just want that Microsoft logo sitting right in front of Apple stores.
Double took. I mean, to me, I just thought, okay, they've set up Apple booths outside of it. No, they've set
Microsoft.
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 And
I'm a PC booth.
And Apple has allowed this?
public sidewalk, dude. They can't do anything about it.
Well, they've got to pay the council.
So I think that's very funny, and we'll see how that goes. Because you know it's just Microsoft trying to get their booth in front of an Apple store.
Hopefully all the Apple guys go in there and go, I'm a PC, and I'm crap.
Well, actually, Leo Laporte on Twit this week was talking about this as well, and his observation was, so what are we talking? Are we talking 1 in 10 or 1 in 100 they'll actually be able to use? Putting it outside an Apple store? Because you know how many people are going to jump in there and go, I'm a Mac. I'm a PC and I'm switching. I just thought that was kind of like the tidbit of information.
Do you know what? If they were smart in their publicity department, they would make a campaign based on Obama's challenge of change.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Dave, did you...
But think about this, though. Apple's already kind of covered that territory with the whole Think Different campaign.
Yes. Did you ever see the... I think I sent it to you. There was a Japanese ad for something or other, and they used a monkey standing in front of a podium. Change. So they were parodying... I must bring it up for you.
I never saw that one.
I tell you what, the Japanese can be darn racist when they want to.
Oh, yes, they can. Yeah. Yes, they can. All right. Another quick little tidbit of information, which we won't harp on, but I just think it's fun. Google's G1 phone, which I think is just being released here in Australia
It has been released.
It's just been released.
With Android, is that right?
With the new operating system, Android, which is developed by Google.
And written in Linux?
Based in Linux. That's right. Its core is Linux. Now, this came up today. Now, the phone has actually been in release now for about 4 weeks or so in America, and it's just been noticed, apparently it's started to be patched already, that somebody had a fault in the code. In the Linux code. The suspicion is basically it was in debug mode and was never taken out of debug mode before it actually shipped. This means is that everything typed into the Android phone is being typed directly to the command line.
Like boot?
And what this means is that any bash command that you actually type in, one of those being reboot, so would reboot the phone. So you could be writing an email, and in your email type the word reboot, bang, your phone reboots.
Oh dear.
So they are releasing patches to fix that, but I just thought that was very, very amusing.
It's something that could be fixed with a patch.
Obviously. Of course. The more sinister aspect of this, of course, was that... means that it's because it's Linux. It's probably got key logging in, which means that every line going into the command line is being recorded. And
have these been released in the States?
It was about 4 weeks ago in the States.
Well, being the litigious nation that it is,
which means if somebody could hack into one of these phones, they could have any email that was ever typed because it would all be in the command line.
Wow,
they're fixing it.
Yeah. Speaking of hacking, websites,
it was reported. I actually heard the report on, once again, I heard it on...
The campaign websites.
As far as I'm aware, yes, but it was also the White House. So we actually had a three-pronged attack. Apparently, the campaign websites of McCain, Obama, and the White House itself have actually been hacked. Now, the depth of these hacks is not completely known, because the American Secret Service is basically saying, yes, we were hacked, but you know, whatever they're telling you is there's a lot more under the surface. They're not telling you what's underneath. What they did say, though, was
that
things like contribution details, like credit card numbers and stuff, weren't hacked. What they said that they have noticed that were being taken were things like letters and documents of what their intentions were and their policies and stuff like that. So it looks like...
This sounds like the Secret Service of another country.
Well, that's right. It looks like the Secret Service of another country, is having a look to see what the potential next president is planning.
I'm surprised they actually announced this.
Well, my suspicion on that, and once again, I say, you know,
it must have been pretty damn important. What do they have to gain? What do they have to benefit from?
The only reason why I would think that at all that they would want to release it to the public would be to let people know, potentially the people who did it, that they are aware of their. And basically, if you keep doing it, we're going to get you. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's really what they're doing. They're making an announcement saying, "We know you're there."
Wouldn't you think they'd done that? Would have done that privately? By doing this, aren't they inciting them to commit further hacking?
Yeah, but maybe they want them to now. Let's face it, if you know that somebody's...
Yes, Dave, you are correct.
This challenge.
The best way to challenge them, go on, do it again.
Yeah, and you also know then if it's...
Which means they haven't found them.
And you'd also know if it was just kids.
Yeah.
Because if it was just kids, hackers around town or what have you, they're going to take that as a challenge and go for it. If it's a foreign national doing it, trying to find information for a foreign government, they'll probably cease and desist because they don't want to create an incident.
No.
You know, so it's a fine line. I think the CIA did the right thing making the announcement.
Because it's a tantamount to war, in a sense, isn't it? Because it's breaking territory.
Yeah, espionage is a big deal. I mean, we're talking the Cold War all over again. If people are going to start spying on each other again.
They never stopped.
Well,
they never stopped.
Okay, but not quite as public, you know. All right. Okay, back to phones. Very quickly. It was announced today that the iPhone... in the last quarter, sales actually has surpassed the Motorola Razr, which is the number one handheld device by adults. It has surpassed it in sales.
Had to happen. Had to happen.
Last I heard...
The iPhone is extraordinary. There's nothing that touches it. The applications...
That's amazing.
You know, it really is an amazing piece of engineering.
And you know, you've got a phone that can make fart sounds. It's great. You
know, and toilet flushing sounds. Aren't we happy? Now...
The other piece of tech news that I thought was very good, let me just cross these things off as I go here. So there's Google Bash, there's Apple Mac.
Oh, you're starting to look like John Stewart and et al. As they cross these off. Or Dave Letterman.
Okay.
Dave's top 10.
I think this is actually the last piece of tech news for the day, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think, unless we can think of something else. Because we're going to talk about LifeWare. We'll come back to LifeWare.
We've got to get there.
The last little piece of tech news I've got. Now, this one I'm going to actually have a look at the... I'm going to bring it up on screen because I think this is actually... fairly major news. This is actually kind of like our bridge because it's kind of a cross between tech and film and television.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube. MGM has signed a deal. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios has signed a deal to post films on YouTube.
Here we go.
Legally. This is amazing. YouTube will show, according to the article in, which news source am I on? News.com.au.
Mr. Murdoch.
YouTube will show full-length television shows and films from the archives of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer in its latest bid to boost advertising revenue by adding professional programming. MGM Studios will kick off the partnership by posting episodes of its decade-old American Gladiators program. Oh, great. Wonderful start. Come on. Anyway, it goes on to say that YouTube in October forged a similar partnership with CBS. Okay.
They're going to start with all the crap.
To run full-length archive shows, including Star Trek, Young and the Restless, Beverly Hills 90210, and so forth. It's becoming TV One, which is your you know oldies channel.
Yep. But a lot of it's already up there. I mean, you can watch Get Smart.
Yeah, but not,
you can watch
legally.
It. Not legally. No,
and that's the thing. This is the turning point. We've had YouTube.
Well, it's legal by me. It's YouTube who are committing the illegal.
Oh, except did you hear? Did you hear? I think it was...
They're allowing it to be posted.
Two months or something. Yeah. The court, remember they were in court case for breach of copyright.
Uh-huh.
It was actually Viacom, I think it was taken.
They have removed a lot of stuff, I've noticed.
They actually requested all the IP addresses of all the downloaders.
Yeah, but that's to support their case. I mean, they're
it's
not
still
gonna...
scary that they have those logged.
Well, you're talking in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah, and there was actually a joke at one point that somebody said that Google should actually print the IP numbers and hand them in on paper. Because it would be reams.
How many trailers would they be using?
And then they decided that wouldn't be a great gag because it would be bad for the environment.
No shit.
All right.
You have missed out on one piece of tech news.
Which is?
The keys.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I didn't write that one down, that's why. This was actually an article that was in the paper a couple days ago, and I just thought it was really intriguing. Now, the full article can be read on news.com.au, as it can be read on sydneymorningherald.com.au and theage.com.au. It was reported in several news sources. I just don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. But it's very James Bond. Apparently, a group of... they were students, actually. It was a student project in a university. Yep. It was Berkeley or something like that.
It wasn't MIT, but I think it was one of the West Coast universities.
One of the West Coast universities. They developed some software application, and they started to have a look at keys. Mm-hmm. Now, what they discovered...
As in physical keys.
Physical keys, like your house key. And what they basically have discovered is that the house key is about 150 years old. And the modern house key that we know, with all the little tumblers and everything. And people have always thought that basically these keys could be cut in any infinite number, and so they were always safe. What these people actually discovered was there was actually really only about 21 points of change on any particular key, and it could be easily copied. As we know, we can copy a key just down Mr. Minute down the road. Now, normally to copy a key, you would need to physically get the key. You'd have to make an imprint of the key or take the key physically
for
down.
For all your key cutting needs, Mr. Minute.
Mr. Minute. And you would take it down and you would match cut the key. Well, these guys have developed one step further, and it was just basically proof of concept. They have actually promised not to release the code of their software. But, as I said, anybody could recreate this.
I mean, they're algorithms. This is the thing. It's taking a 2D image and rendering it into 3D.
Absolutely.
And then they spin it around, rotate and so on, go, great, there it is.
And the concept is with any...
Put coordinates into the key cutting machine, you cut it.
Absolutely. The concept is with any camera, you can take a photo of a key, even low resolution like a camera phone, and take the photo...
From how far away?
Well, I was about to say, we'll get to that in a second. What you do, just to let the listeners know, you take the key, you take this image of the key, you run it through their algorithm, through their program, it renders a 3D version of the key from that low-grade image, then writes that information to a cutter, and the cutter automatically cuts the key, like a plotter printer.
Brilliant.
It cuts the key. Now, they discovered that these algorithms were so easy that their last test that they did was to shoot... a ring of keys on a coffee table from 600 meters away.
From how far away?
600 meters away.
That's more than half a kilometer.
And they actually show the photograph, and it literally is a speck in the photograph. But they zoom up on it, they can grab those coordinates, and they can cut the key.
Hello, keyless entry.
Basically, what they're saying is going to make everybody think twice about those snapshots at parties and stuff where you've got your keys in your hand. Because suddenly that picture, that innocent picture, can now be used to rob your house. What they're actually saying is that the technology for keys is very, very old, and really the keyless technology that we use for things like cars nowadays, sure, and for hotel rooms and stuff like that, yeah, really is the future, yeah, and we really need to start heading in that direction because key technology is old, and it's now been completely blown out of the water. So, okay. Last bit of tech is actually not so much a piece of news, but something we promised to talk about 2 weeks ago, and then the federal election got in the way. So I'll just bring it up right now. This actually intrigued me. It was actually an article in the Sydney Morning Herald, business section, I believe it was, about a new business that has opened in Bondi Junction. The company is called Digital Lifeware. So digital, the word digital, the word life, and then W-A-R-E, like software, but lifeware. So it's Digital Lifeware, Digital Tools. Now, the concept of this company is that rather than going into a shop and having to hunt through all the boxes on a shelf and then find the one you want and then buy it and bring the box back, and then, of course, you're going to... I'll expand on this personally. This isn't what they promised, but my thought on this would be that, of course, as soon as you buy something in a box, the first thing you have to do is get the downloaded patch because, of course, everything is out of date as soon as it ships, etc., etc. So these people have come up with this idea. Now, this is actually a franchise, as far as I'm aware, or it's a branch of a franchise that started in England. And
where it's very successful.
Where it's very successful. Mm-hmm. And what they basically do is they've cut out the middleman, so to speak. You walk up, there's computer screens on the counter, you type in the search engine, the software that you're looking for, it comes up with the price, you click on it, you pay your money, they write the disc on the spot, they ink the disc, so it's actually a really nice, proper printed surface on it. They print the cover, and if there is a manual, they print the manual on the spot. The whole thing's boxed up, given to you, and off you walk. Mm. Wow.
It is wow factor. I saw it the other day when we went in there. I think the wow factor is for the non-geek community.
Yeah.
Who are, for one reason or another, a little afraid of downloading software that they're paying for on the net or essentially need to hold something physical.
Mm.
So instead of going into a computer shop, you can just go browse the section that you're looking for software-wise, download it, and then bing, bang, bong, it's all done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I actually went in and I spoke to the manager. I spoke to, his name is Rhett Sampson, and he's the man who has brought it to Sydney. And we had a nice long talk, actually, and he told me some information about how he, learned about it and so forth. He's a geek from the past, and they carry Macintosh, Linux, and PC software. Now, I was actually talking to him about the sort of software that he carries, and at the moment, and this is going to change, basically, as he would say, he said, I can't really comment, but just watch this space, is what he would keep saying. But at the moment, what they're selling is basically, what is termed as basically second-tier software.
Yeah.
It's, when you go into a software shop now, and you'll see, say, Adobe software on the shelf. Next to the Adobe software are all the other photo editing software that you can buy, all the ones that are cheaper and basically for the home user. He's selling all that. He's not selling the Adobe. Now, when I said to him, I said, what about the upper-end software? He said, watch this space.
Yep.
One thing that he did
say... Yeah, he's proving himself.
Well, one thing he did say was that they're actually in negotiation with Microsoft at the moment, which is actually a pretty big step.
Ooh. Well, if he gets Microsoft on board, he'll get everybody.
Well, that's right. If he can get Microsoft, he'll get everyone. I mean, it's as simple as that. And also, he
what
said
about
that the,
price-wise? Is it competitive?
Well, what he actually said, because that was my first question was, is this cheaper to do it this way? And he said, actually, no. He said that it's comparable. It's the same price as what you pay in the shop. Basically, what you're doing is not getting... The reason why it's no cheaper is because you're still paying the same licensing fees, you're still paying for the same software, you're still getting the same box and everything. All you're doing really is cutting down the time in getting it.
Yeah, you're cutting down the time.
Because you don't have to go browse the shops.
It's accessible, it's the ease of access.
That's right. So basically, from Wodigo, I said, how long does it take to get a piece of software? I mean, if they're going to have to write the disk and print the cover and print the manual and everything else, he said about 2.5 minutes. I went, oh my God, wow. He's got some serious hardware under the hood at that kiosk. If you want to go check it out, go have a look. It's actually one of the kiosks. It's on the ground floor, the basement level of the Bondi Junction.
Westfield Bondi Junction.
And you can go and have a check. And he's probably going to be opening other branches, I'm sure. I do wish him all well, because I think it is an amazing concept. And if he can make it a success here... Good luck to him.
He could do with a bit of publicity, I think.
Absolutely. And when I spoke to him, I said, you know, I'll definitely, you know, give you a plug on the show, because I think anything that moves
that
the
name
IT
again,
industry.
That name again?
Digital Lifeware Digital Tools.
Digital Lifeware.
Yeah, and their slogan is playware, learnware, createware, workware. And they basically...
Lifeware. Yeah.
And so they basically are just creating software. It's basically software on demand, which is very neat indeed. So... Thank you, Rhett. I'm sorry it's taken us 2 weeks to get to you, but we've had a busy couple of weeks, I think.
That's for sure.
All right. Now, that's Lifewares. Now, let's go on to film. Mm-hmm. You know, I must say, the one thing I have noticed about this show is that without Mirren, we don't laugh as much.
No.
Mirren definitely makes me laugh.
Yeah, and all of us.
All right, film and television. Captain America has got a director.
Who's the director?
His name is Joe Johnson. And for those
you mentioned this.
Joe Johnson, he started life as a special effects technician. And he turned to directing. Sorry, I'm just typing his name into IMDb, just so we have his listing. Because,
The Rocketeer, you
mentioned. I believe he did The Rocketeer, Jumanji. I'm just trying to get the list of his...
The Rocketeer was a fun film.
His lesser films.
When was that, 87?
Joe Johnson, here we go. I love The Rocketeer. Yeah. I thought The Rocketeer was great. Okay, as a director, he directed The Rocketeer, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He directed Jumanji. He directed October Sky. He directed Jurassic Park 3. And his new film, which is Benicio del Toro in The Wolfman remake, which he's doing right now.
The Wolfman?
You know The Wolfman, the original Wolfman, Universal Pictures monster movie, Lon Chaney?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's doing the remake. And Benicio del Toro.
You're talking about the radio jock.
No. Benicio del Toro is playing the Wolfman. Mm. I saw a photograph from it the other day. He looks fantastic. Yeah. I think Rick Baker's doing the makeup. Looks great. Anyway, Captain America has been in the works for a while. It's supposed to come out in 2011. No star has still been announced, but they have finally announced a director, which is good news for the geek world. Also for the geek world, if you go online and go into Google, you'll find that there is a new Watchmen poster that has been posted up, which doesn't give much away, but at least it's there. And the other piece of news, there was another one that was very geeky. I said we had to mention. Oh, it'll come back to me. Anyway, I didn't write it down. Trust me. Now, the other piece, more close to home, Australia. Baz Luhrmann's epic. Now, Baz Luhrmann, for those who aren't familiar...
Careful here, Dave.
Oh, why? Baz Luhrmann's
I suppose I'm saying careful to myself, really.
We're not going to say anything horrible or derogatory. I'm not going to say anything derogatory. I'm just reporting it as it is, okay? Now, the bottom line is that...
This is not for an Australian audience, is it? It's for an American audience.
It's a tourism video. Yeah. Anyway, Baz Luhrmann, who's best known for things like Strictly Ballroom, Romeo and Juliet,
Moulin Rouge,
he's been working for the last, I think it's about 2 years now, isn't it? He's been shooting and editing this film called Australia, which is a big World War II era epic in the Outback with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman.
Gone with the Wind.
It's Gone with the Wind in the Outback. Now, apparently it was shown to a test screening, and they hated the ending. Now, this is interesting.
What was in the ending?
Well, in the ending, in Baz Luhrmann's original ending, and it's very interesting that they make a big deal out of this because my wife saw the trailer and she picked it from the trailer, but apparently Hugh Jackman died. And basically everybody said, well, you know, thought it was an okay film, but why the hell did Hugh Jackman die? And so under studio pressure, he's been forced to put a happy ending on it. So the reason why this is interesting...
So much for director's cut.
Well, the reason I find this interesting is Baz Luhrmann is so rammed up his own fundamental, basically. I mean,
but he's using American money.
Well, that's fine, but the point is that he makes all these big boasts about the fact that he's this wonderful filmmaker and blah, blah, an auteur and all this stuff, and his final cut, and it's always his vision and so forth. If he had director's cut, if it was his vision and he was the super, super... clout that he says he is, he would never bow to studio pressure on something
maybe
like this.
Maybe when they release the DVD, they'll have an alternate
ending.
Choose.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And speaking of Australia, the star of Australia, Nicole Kidman, has got a new film. And I just thought this was amusing. If nothing else, I thought it was amusing. Apparently, Kidman has been cast in a film called The Danish Girl, and it's based on the true story of Danish artist, now I'm not sure the pronunciation here, Einar...
Can you look?
E-I-N-A-R. Einar? Einar?
Where are we looking? Sorry.
It says Einar or Einar, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Einar.
Those weird old Dutch people, those weird old Danish people. Einar. Anyway, Einar and Greta Wagner... And their marriage took a sharp turn to the left after Einar Kidman stood in for a female model that Greta, to be played by Charlize Theron, was set to paint. Apparently she's playing a transsexual. Okay, so...
Oh, she's typecast.
So she's supposed to be playing one of the world's first post-op transsexuals. Now, call me cynical, because I just can't help myself.
No. David!
Is she going for another Oscar? Is that what she's trying to do?
Yes.
Is that what this is all about?
Yes.
She's put on the fake nose, she wins the Oscar. Yep. You know? Yep. What is it in Tropic Thunder? You never go full retard.
That's the right one. Maybe she's never going to go full transsexual.
So, anyway, I just think that, it sounds like a cynical exercise to try and win an Oscar.
Now, are we going to talk about something very cynical?
We are really, we've come to this, here it comes. Now, Little Geek has actually just entered the studio, and he's sitting patiently there, but you're just going to wait for a few minutes. We have one more thing to review, and then we're going to come to you. Okay? Jacob and I went to see...
A private screening.
An advanced critic screening this morning of... You're not on mic yet. Hold on, let me give you a mic.
Hang on, Nikki.
All right, what was that?
You went there this morning.
Yeah, we went there this morning. Mm-hmm. All right, so... We were there
with the critics.
We were. David Stratton was right in front of us.
Stratton was in front of us, and he looked
he looked
clinically dead. Anyway, go on.
David Stratton is a film reviewer here in Australia. He does a television show called At the Movies.
Okay.
He also wrote a wonderful autobiography called I Peed on Fellini, which is well worth a read. But let's move on.
Let's talk about the film very quickly. Now, you actually have the official press kit in front of you that they handed out.
If you want to call it that.
I don't even think we really need much on it. There's one line.
There's two lines.
Before we go any further, we haven't actually said what the film is. We went to see the press screening of Rob Schneider's new comedy called Big Stan. Now, Big Stan is basically a show about a con artist who fleeces old women on timeshare, who gets arrested and is sent to jail. He's given a 6-month grace before going to jail, and in that time he basically decides he has to harden himself up because he doesn't want to be raped. Now, this is an ongoing joke that goes throughout the whole film about being raped in jail, and he doesn't want to be raped. They mention the rape. That gag is probably done about 700 times in the film.
It's awful.
And it wasn't funny the first time. Anyway, from the official press kit...
This is from John Schneider, who is his brother and producer of the film. The script's mix of comedy and action combined with the darker side of Stan's character really appealed to Rob. He knew it would be a great showcase for him as an actor and a great chance to establish his talent as a director. It does neither of those. Can I just read the following two lines, which says, after 2 decades of working in movies and television, Rob had accumulated a wealth of filmmaking know-how and was comfortable taking the helm.
And that's the important to note. This is Rob Schneider's directorial debut.
It's shocking.
It is.
I want to say disappointed, but if one has disappointment, as you say, Dave, you would have had expectations.
Yeah.
You went in there expecting nothing. I wanted to cry. It was so bad.
You were actually... I was watching...
It was just... Look, the sad thing is, it's very sad, because he is so angry, is what it is. This film is full of anger. This is why the rape jokes are there, and so on and so on. He is so frustrated that he's never really made it. He's had a little bit of success exposure on Saturday Night Live. He's had these cameos on Adam Sandler films, which is where he should have stayed.
And he's made a couple of films that have actually been successful at the box office, but not necessarily.
This is a story that could have been told in 3 minutes, and they stretched it out to more than 90 minutes, I think.
He also roped into his misery. He roped in David Carradine, who really has been nowhere anyway. Poor, I mean, his last film of any sort of note was Kill Bill 2.
Yeah.
But he did rope in M. Emmett Walsh, who I've got to be honest, I actually thought was dead. Yeah, I didn't realize he was still alive.
Well, he's kind of dead in this.
And it's not a good look. He managed to rope in Sally Kirkland, who I don't know how he managed to bring her into this. He roped in Dan Haggerty, who I don't think has been seen on screen since Grizzly Adams. He managed to rope in, and the surprise of the entire thing, he managed to rope in Jennifer Morrison to play his bimbo wife. Now, Jennifer Morrison, for those who don't know, plays Cameron on House, and she has already established herself. She's got this good role, she's got this good character in House, and she is better than this film. And she's better than... In fact, she is such a bimbo in this film that I didn't even recognize her for the first 5 minutes of the film. And I'm going, I know her from somewhere, but where is it? And then when it finally clicked, I went, why are you in this? It is, for comedy, this film does the ultimate sin. No, we're not talking about good or bad or mediocre or anything else. The ultimate sin for any comedy is if it's not funny. Not one person laughed screening once.
There wasn't even a derisive snort.
And no.
Have a listen to this. It says, imagine a Jackie Chan comedy written and directed by the Coen brothers, and you might have an idea of what Big Stan is like. There are broad laughs, social satire, sex scenes, devious deals and martial arts battles, and some heartwarming moments that may surprise you. Well, let me surprise you. There are none of those.
No laughs, no heartwarming moments. It is stupid. Here's a little bit of Big Stan.
Hagen. Arrested.
You're under arrest for fraud.
Have you reached a verdict?
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty.
What?
Convicted.
Rich. I wanted some of that OJ justice.
Now you got 6 months, set your affairs in order.
What's that supposed to mean?
Little dude like you, be an easy mark.
Terrified. All right, that's all I can take. I've already seen the film. I don't need any more.
I had PTSD. Coming out of this film, honestly.
Can you define that for some of our listeners?
Post-traumatic
please?
Stress disorder, or what was formerly known as shell shock. As soon as the credits started to roll, I ran out of the cinema.
Yeah, I've actually never seen Jake move so fast, actually, I got to say. I sat there throughout the whole credits, because I'm a big believer that you do stay...
And then I came back to see where Dave was, and the only two people left in the cinema were the two Daves, David McVeigh and David Stratton.
We stayed to the end. And I got to say, David Stratton was sitting in front of me, and... You know what? David Stratton and I disagree on certain things and so forth, but, you know, whatever. I do respect him as a person, and I got to say that he did not look happy.
He stood up, he looked around, and I said the following. They should take the reels, place them in the canisters, and write "Return to Sender."
And they should.
And he smiled.
Funny thing is about this film is that it actually was finished and ready for release in July of last year, and still has not been released. In the United States, it doesn't have a release date. There's no trailer for it. The only trailer I can find online...
Even bad films that have a release in the States, they'll get, you know, open on the Thursday and close on the Sunday. This did not open.
No, this isn't open. And the suspicion is it's probably going to go...
Nor is it on DVD yet.
No, and it's probably going to go straight to DVD eventually. But I don't know. For Rob Schneider's films have opened cinematically.
Do you have your iPhone handy?
I do, yeah.
Can I have it for a moment?
Yeah. There you go.
Keep going.
All right, so I just thought this was a disastrous film. But as I said to Jake, I went in with no expectation. So I can't say I was disappointed because I didn't expect anything and I got nothing. So therefore, I'm in the grounds. I do wish I had... and it keeps going.
I love it, that last bit.
Yeah. Now, you know what? My wife, who is full of good advice for me, and she is my rock, she said to me, going into this film, when I dropped her off at work this morning, she said, go to the film and think like a 15-year-old.
Because, I did.
Well, no, I was about to say, think like a 15-year-old. I went into that film, and you know what? Quite frankly, I'm 41, but I often think like a 15-year-old. I'm a geek, you know? And so I went in there, and I thought, okay, even if it's bad, at least I might get a giggle out of it. No, no, nope, 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 nope. November 27th, stay away from the cinema. It's my advice.
Stay home.
Stay home. Watch a DVD. You know what? Watch, if you want to see, if you need to see Rob Schneider, you know, get one of the DVDs out. They're infinitely better
than
anything.
This man needs to realize he is not funny. He can be of benefit to the film industry by doing something else within it. But Rob Schneider, I'm telling you now, mate, I'm going to be very, very hard on you just for your own good. You're not funny.
No, he's not funny. And, you know, the point that I made to Jake, and this is, we'll wrap up on this, because this is we're harping on about a film we had. We were just so disgusted by this film. It really, really wasn't a good film. But I was saying to Jake, you know, it's an argument that Miriam puts forward all the time, and I do agree with her, which is that you can elevate bad material with good actors. You know, now, to make a great film, you have to have everything working. So you have to have a great script to start with, and you have to have great actors and a great director to bring it all together and so forth. To have, you know, a mediocre film, to have a film that just works and you kind of enjoy it and it's kind of fun, you don't necessarily have to have the best script in the world.
I think in a lot of cases it's quite correct what you're saying. I think in this case, this was the most expositional film
I have ever seen. My argument is that if you took that script as is, and it wasn't a great script, but if you took that script as is, and you gave it to somebody like Judd Apatow or one of the other great comedy directors who are working right now, and then you cast in that role, you recast the whole thing, put in funny people like, you know, your Steve Carells, your Jim Carreys, your what have you,
maybe
even Stephen Colbert, and you would at least generate some laughs.
Well,
it may not be great.
Screenwriter Josh Leib has actually worked on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Well, that's probably why he's not working on The Daily Show anymore.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. I think that if you can make a comedy that actually has no laughs whatsoever, you have made a mighty achievement.
He's done it.
Yeah, it's a mighty achievement.
He's done it.
It is a mighty achievement.
Congratulations, Josh Leib. You have written the unfunniest comedy ever.
He's written the unfunniest comedy, and I've got to say, Rob Schneider managed to wring any sort of humor the script might have had out of it. Mm. Because there is not a laugh in it.
I was just going to suggest to you it might be one for the list, but the fact is...
No,
this is the thing. This is the thing. The films that qualify for the list, they're so bad, they're good. This is so bad, so utterly bad.
It's just bad.
It's just bad.
It's just bad. It's not a film where I watch it. And actually, brings us to a very interesting...
In fact, I'll go further than that. It's upsetting.
It's upsetting, because it's just you sit there and go, I'm wasting my time. It's an interesting point about the list, actually. Once again, my beautiful wife, Katie, came up with this interesting statement. And I'm still putting this to the test, and maybe the listeners out there want to put some comments on the website if they've got some ideas about this. You can have a think about this as a concept. She actually said, if you think about that list that I put up, there are no comedies. And one of the reasons for that is because it's very hard to make a comedy so bad it's funny, because it's already trying to be funny. You know what I mean? It's very easy to make genre, like science fiction or horror or, you know, action films,
because they
laughable.
They were made with serious intent.
That's right.
And this is what makes them
And that's right, and they become laughable. Yeah. So it's a very interesting point she made. She says, you don't see any romances there, you don't see any comedies, you know? And I started thinking about it, going, but... And I couldn't think of any. So some would say that Howard the Duck kind of qualifies as comedy, but no, it is more science fiction than comedy. Anyway, moving right along. Little geek... Nicholas McVeigh, how are you today?
I am fine.
How about you come a little closer to the microphone?
Yep.
I'll just
slide forward a little bit.
Slide forward.
Not too close, but a little.
About that far away. Come a bit closer. A bit closer.
Turn it. No, not too close, because he's... There we go. Just lean in just a little bit. See how far I am from it?
Yeah.
Like this, okay? This is the first time I think we've ever had you live while we're recording.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Nicholas
McVeigh is live in the studio.
Oh, you should get the iPhone.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, wait. I think we've got a fanfare here of some kind, don't we? Let's have a look here. What have I got? Thank you. All right. Now, what have you got for us today?
I finished Lego Batman.
Yay! Hold on.
So, Lego Batman. Tell us about Lego Batman. Now, this is a stop motion film you've made?
No. This is the Lego game. Batman, the video game.
Oh, I do beg your pardon. This is the video game. Right.
Yes, the video game.
Well, now, when you say you've finished it, you've got through all the levels.
Yeah, I still have to do free play.
Yeah, you're still going through the free play.
And I still have to do the villain levels.
Right. So, explain free play.
You get to go in free play. You get to get super kit pieces.
Super kit pieces.
Yeah, they're little pieces you get to build a Lego set or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're like the bonus blocks, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you also get to get true superhero.
That's right. The objective of the game is to A, get through it all, but also to collect so many studs per level that you actually achieve the top level.
Superhero status. Well, congratulations for getting through there.
And then there's the villain. Then you go through the levels again, playing the opposite side.
Yes, this is a wonderful game because you can play the villains as well.
No, you go to another place. Like
there you go.
That's better.
There's a Batcave and there's also Arkham Asylum. And you go to Arkham Asylum, then you play the villains.
And then you can play the villains. That's right. I've actually played a little bit of this with you. I haven't played nearly as much as you have, but it is a lot of fun.
You have spent a lot of time on this game. May I say, it's a great team building game, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, all of the Lego games actually are. Mm. All of the Lego Batman, Indiana Jones, and Star Wars ones, the cooperative play is really cool. So, yeah, so you finally finished it.
Yep.
You finished it through. And was it worth everything that you wanted it to be?
Yeah.
Yeah? So which was your favorite? Out of the Lego Star Wars, Lego Batman, and Lego Indiana Jones, which would be your favorite?
I don't know.
You don't know.
they're as good as each other, aren't they?
They're all pretty much the same in the style, but they're different humor levels in them because they have different characters.
Also, Batman, they changed lots of it.
They've changed some of the like you've got the batarangs and stuff now, which are really
and also
batarangs.
Yeah, you if you pull and hold the trigger, you can actually target multiple targets, and when you let go, he throws his batarang and it hits multiple targets.
Oh, it's a boomerang.
Yeah, it's great.
Cool. Now tell me something, Nikki. You have shown me a movie trailer. You've made a trailer.
Yeah, it's on my website.
Which is nicholasmcveigh.com.
No, it's actually Nikki. You have to actually put the www before it. It's because of the server he's on.
Yes.
It's www.nikkimcveigh.
Oh, Nikki McVeigh.
NikkiMcVeigh.com.
And what's this? Tell the listeners about the trailer. Who does it star?
Who's it star? Who's your four-legged star?
This is a clever kid, isn't he? He doesn't want to give it away.
He's already learning about confidentiality. And surprises.
Very clever.
All right, here we are almost letting the cat... Oh. Here we are almost letting the surprise out.
Yes.
All right, so go to Nikki McVeigh. Go click on the movie section. And it's right at the top, isn't it?
Yeah, it says trailer.
Trailer.
Tell you what, for a 9-year-old kid, this trailer is really something. It's got a music underlay, underscore. Yep. It moves. It's great.
Yeah, and he's actually been working on shooting the whole film. He's still working on the film. He was out there shooting stuff today, actually.
Yeah. Every day I'm shooting bits of Murphy.
I mean, he comes home from school and goes, "I need to set up the firewire now, Dad." It's like, "Oh, okay." Let's go set it up then. So yeah, no, very very clever boy. Very clever boy. Now, Nicholas, my son, I just thought I'd bring up really quickly, because you've been discovering some... We keep talking about the new stuff that's out, and the new this and the new that. Nikki's gone a little bit retro.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Nikki's been watching original Lost in Space episodes.
You haven't.
I have.
They're in black and white, Nikki.
They are. He's been watching...
I thought you didn't watch black and white things.
I do.
He does now. He's discovered Lost in Space and Danger, Will Robinson.
Also,
and Mr. Smith. What do you think of Mr. Smith?
He's pretty funny because he's so mean.
You bubble-headed booby.
You bubble-headed booby.
Also, I've also been watching
Yes, he's also found on every Saturday and Sunday morning on Fox Classics. He's been discovering the original 60s Batman series.
The campest show ever made.
One of the campest shows ever made. And you've also, I noticed, you've been bookmarking old Addams Family episodes.
Yep.
That's black and white, too. The worm has turned, ladies and gentlemen.
It has indeed.
The other slightly older film, we're not talking quite as far back, but a couple of years back, a film that at first... as a parent, I was concerned because I thought it was a bit violent. But then as he got older, Nicholas decided he didn't want to see it because he just thought it was going to be too scary or something. But Nicholas has finally started watching
Lord of the Rings.
Has he?
He watched Fellowship of the Ring the other day.
What did you think of that?
It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It
wasn't just pretty good?
Yep.
This is one of Daddy's favorite films, but, you know, anyway. But anyway, yeah.
I like James Bond better.
Yeah, he's also been watching the James Bond movies.
The originals?
Yeah, all of them. He's been raiding the DVD rack. He actually pulled out all 21 James Bond movies, wow. Or 20 James Bond movies,
yep.
Or whatever it is.
Yep.
And he started with Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, yes.
And his criticism to it was?
Boring!
Didn't think it was enough action.
Well, in those days, there was a lot of...
That's what we were trying to explain to him.
There was a lot of action for the film that was at the time.
Yeah, we were trying to explain to him that was an action film for its day, you know? Mm. Anyway, so he's now...
Anyway, it wasn't your favorite film,
No, it wasn't one of my favorite
films. Have you seen Diamonds Are Forever?
No, not yet.
Not yet. What he's done now is he's jumped forward, and he's kind of working backwards.
Hmm.
So he's jumped to Pierce Brosnan. So he's working to the Brosnan one.
Two steps forward, one step back.
That's right. And so now he's going to kind of work backwards until he thinks they're boring, basically. Which is an interesting way of watching Bond films. Mm. But anyway. So James Bond, Lord of the Rings, Lost in Space, Batman.
Adam Sandler.
Who are you and what have you done with my son?
He's showing initiative.
He is. He's showing initiative, and he's watching some very interesting stuff at the moment. And, of course, the irony of all this is that the original Lost in Space is one of his mother's favorites, and so she's been watching it with him. She just loves the old black and white
Lost in Space. Well, it's so ridiculous, really.
Okay. Well, all right. I think we've probably pretty much reached an end here.
I think we have.
I think we're finished.
I never want to hear of Big Stan ever again or Rob Schneider.
No, we are never, ever going to mention Big Stan on this show again unless we find out something really remarkable like it broke box office records.
he needs therapy. He really does.
Oh, yeah. I finished shooting the Lego Batman film.
Oh, and you finished shooting the Lego Batman film. That's right. You're still cutting it, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's right.
How many minutes is it going to be?
I don't know.
Oh, it's probably only a couple. It's a short.
Yeah, it's short.
It's a short. But some of the footage I've seen looks pretty good. What we're doing at the moment is we're actually putting it into Final Cut and ramping the speed down a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Slowing.
What's the actual program that he uses to make the stop animation? What's it called?
iStopMotion.
Yeah.
iStopMotion.
iStopMotion, and then he takes the footage. Well, normally he'd put it into iMovie, but... For this one, we're putting it into Final Cut because he needs the slowy down feature. He needs the ramp feature to ramp up and down speed.
Right.
So to increase
frame rate
and do a bit of grading on it, I suppose.
We'll do a bit of grading and we'll apply some advanced filters and stuff that he can't do in iMovie. So mm-hmm. Do a little bit of work on it.
And also, you're gonna give me
yeah, we're looking around at the moment for we'll see, but we're looking around at the moment and possibly doing Final Cut Express for Nicholas, which is like a cut down version.
Yeah, I know Final Cut Express.
I think what's happened is that, it's very funny to say, but at the age of 9, I think he's outgrowing iMovie. So
amazing.
I know, it's kind of spooky. Mm. Anyway, but we'll deal with that at another time. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up for this week.
See enough movies.
I'm not up to that bit yet. We're running a little bit short today, but we've had some long ones. So
don't talk about Nicholas that way.
He's getting taller every day. He got his school photos today, and how much taller you are than anyone else in your class is really quite remarkable.
I am 9, and some people are 6.
That's right, because you're in a composite class. He's a grade 1, grade 2 composite class. Hmm. Anyway, Jacob Oberman can be found on Facebook, and he's already started receiving some strange requests, but that's all right. Miran Lee, who isn't with us, can be found at miranlee.com. There's more and more information going on her site all the time.
And also you can find David.
And you can find me, of course, at geekactually.com, because that's where I hang out
also
most.
Also at your other website.
But I also have davidmcveigh.net, which you can find me at as well. Once again, that's got the www before it. It's one of these older servers that requires the old... www. but geekactually.com does not require the www.com. It's just the straight geekactually.com. I hang out there more than I hang out. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on the Twitter at twitter.com/DavidMcVeigh.
Oh, you got a few followers too.
And I've got a few followers on there. So you can find me all over the place. I'm not hard to find.
Or also remember www.nicholasmcveigh.
www.nickymcveigh.
www.nickymcveigh.
Sorry.
NICKYMCVAY.com. You can have a look, and you'll be able to keep up with his movies and comics and all the other things that he's done. And you can have a look at this new trailer that he's cut. It's at the top. It just says trailer if you want to go see it. In the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies. All of life's questions are answered in the movies, but I'm going to make an addendum to that statement and say not Big Stan.
Absolutely not.
Not a single question to life is answered in that movie.
Seriously, we're saving you.
We're saving you money and time and energy
unless
a part of your soul.
Unless you want a visual laxative.
Because it will give you the shits. All right, thank you very much for joining us, and we will talk more next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Rob Schneider, why do we think about that man anymore? It's one of those things in life that I don't wish to have.
No. No, the interview was very, very painful indeed. All right.